Be quiet, boy, snarled Gaunt in parcel tongue, and Morfin fell silent again. And so what if he did then? Gaunt said defiantly to Ogden. I expect you've wiped the muggle's filthy face clean for him, and his memory to boot.
That's hardly the point, is it, Mr. Gaunt?
Said Ogden.
This was an unprovoked attack on a defenceless...
I had you marked out as a muggle lover the moment I saw you, sneered Gaunt, and he spat on the floor again.
This discussion is getting us nowhere, said Ogden firmly. It is clear from your son's attitude that he feels no remorse for his actions.
He glanced down at his scroll of parchment again.
Morfin will attend a hearing on the 14th of September to answer the charges of using magic in front of a muggle and causing harm and distress to that same mug.
Ogden broke off. The jingling, clopping sounds of horses and loud laughing voices were drifting in through the open window. Apparently the winding lane to the village passed very close to the copse where the house stood. Gaunt froze, listening, his eyes wide. Morfin hissed and turned his face toward the sounds, his expression hungry. Merope raised her head. Her face, Harry saw, was starkly white.
My God, what an eyesore!
Rang out a girl's voice, as clearly audible through the open window as if she had stood in the room beside them.
Couldn't your father have that hovel cleared away, Tom?
It's not ours, said a young man's voice. Everything on the other side of the valley belongs to us, but that cottage belongs to an old tramp called Gaunt and his children. The son's quite mad. You should hear some of the stories they tell in the village.
The girl laughed. The jingling, clopping noises were growing louder and louder. Morfin made to get out of his armchair.
Keep your seat,
said his father warningly in parcel tongue. Tom, said the girl's voice again, now so close they were clearly right beside the house.
I might be wrong, but has somebody nailed a snake to that door?
Good Lord, you're right, said the man's voice. That'll be the son. I told you he's not right in the head. Don't look at it, Cecilia, darling.
The jingling and clopping sounds were now growing fainter again.
Darling,
whispered Morfin in parcel tongue, looking at his sister.
Darling, he called her, so he wouldn't have you anyway.
Merope was so white, Harry felt sure she was going to faint.
What's that?
Said Gaunt sharply, also in parcel tongue, looking from his son to his daughter.
What did you say, Morfin?
She likes looking at that muggle,
said Morfin, a vicious expression on his face as he stared at his sister, who now looked terrified.
Always in the garden when he passes, peering through the hedge at him, isn't she? And last night...
Merope shook her head jerkily, imploringly, but Morfin went on ruthlessly.
Hanging out of the window, waiting for him to ride home, wasn't she?
Hanging out of the window to look at a muggle,
said Gaunt quietly. All three of the Gaunts seemed to have forgotten Ogden, who was looking both bewildered and irritated at this renewed outbreak of incomprehensible hissing and rasping.
Is it true?
Said Gaunt in a deadly voice, advancing a step or two toward the terrified girl.
My daughter, pure blood descendant of Salazar Slytherin, hankering after a filthy, dirt-veined muggle?
Merope shook her head frantically, pressing herself into the wall, apparently unable to speak.
But I got him, father,
cackled Morfin.
I got him as he went by, and he didn't look so pretty with hives all over him, did he, Merope? You disgusting little squib, you filthy little blood traitor,
roared Gaunt, losing control, and his hands closed around his daughter's throat. Both Harry and Ogden yelled,
No!
At the same time. Ogden raised his wand and cried,
Relatio!
Gaunt was thrown backward away from his daughter. He tripped over a chair and fell flat on his back. With a roar of rage, Morfin leapt out of his chair and ran at Ogden, brandishing his bloody knife and firing hexes indiscriminately from his wand. Ogden ran for his life. Dumbledore indicated that they ought to follow, and Harry obeyed, Merope's screams echoing in his ears. Ogden hurtled up the path and erupted onto the main lane, his arms over his head, where he collided with the glossy chestnut horse ridden by a very handsome dark-haired young man. Both he and the pretty girl riding beside him on a grey horse roared with laughter at the sight of Ogden, who bounced off the horse's flank and set off again, his frock coat flying, covered from head to foot in dust, running pell-mell up the lane.
"I think that will do, Harry," said Dumbledore.
He took Harry by the elbow and tugged. Next moment they were both soaring weightlessly through darkness until they landed squarely on their feet back in Dumbledore's now twilit office.
"What happened to the girl in the cottage?" said Harry at once, as Dumbledore lit extra lamps with a flick of his wand. "Merope, or whatever her name was."
"Oh, she survived," said Dumbledore, reseating himself behind his desk and indicating that Harry should sit down too. "Ogden apparated back to the Ministry and returned with reinforcements within 15 minutes. Morfin and his father attempted to fight, but both were overpowered, removed from the cottage, and subsequently convicted by the Wizengamot. Morfin, who already had a record of Muggle attacks, was sentenced to 3 years in Azkaban. Marvolo, who had injured several Ministry employees, in addition to Ogden, received 6 months.
"Marvolo?" Harry repeated, wonderingly.
"That's right," said Dumbledore, smiling in approval. "I'm glad to see you're keeping up."
"That old man was
Voldemort's grandfather, yes," said Dumbledore. "Marvolo, his son Morfin, and his daughter Merope were the last of the Gaunts, a very ancient wizarding family noted for a vein of instability and violence that flourished through the generations due to their habit of marrying their own cousins. Lack of sense coupled with a great liking for grandeur meant that the family gold was squandered several generations before Marvolo was born. He, as you saw, was left in squalor and poverty with a very nasty temper, a fantastic amount of arrogance and pride, and a couple of family heirlooms that he treasured just as much as his son, and rather more than his daughter."
"So, Merope," said Harry, leaning forward in his chair and staring at Dumbledore, "so Merope was...
Sir, does that mean she was Voldemort's mother?"
"It does," said Dumbledore.
"And it so happens that we also had a glimpse of Voldemort's father. I wonder whether you noticed."
"The Muggle Morfin attacked. The man on the horse."
"Very good indeed," said Dumbledore, beaming. "Yes, that was Tom Riddle Sr., the handsome Muggle who used to go riding past the Gaunt cottage and for whom Merope Gaunt cherished a secret, burning passion."
"And they ended up married?" Harry said in disbelief, unable to imagine two people less likely to fall in love.